Off the ball
on News Talk
in association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
What sort of changes do you think Martin O'Neill will make?
Personally, I think the midfield trio that he chose tonight are probably the best from a footballing perspective, albeit we didn't really see it tonight. So will he bring David Myler back? I think given how well he played in Cardiff and how well he maybe captained the side over the course of those two games, perhaps might be it's great for him that he can actually play. But I think footballing wise, I think it's better that we perhaps go with the three that we've played in the midfield there tonight, but he may feel as though it's an opportunity to maybe bring David Myler back in. He might be able to freshen it up a little bit, because let's be fair, the quality in the middle of the park tonight wasn't great. I think when there was opportunities to play, I think it was given away. Didn't necessarily see any, you know, real desire to go and run forward with the ball, apart from a couple of occasions from Robbie Brady. So yes, they are better than perhaps that they've shown this evening, but we'll see what the story is there for Chidad. I think we might get a feel Sunday, Monday with the press conferences as to what Martin O'Neill's thinking. I mean, we know he gives very little away, and maybe rightly so as well, but we'll see that maybe close to the game and see how Jeff Hendrick, with him going off so late on, has he feeling something, has he got a knock? So we might get a bit more of an idea as to what he's going to do then going forward. I say, yeah,
you say footballing wise stick with the three that we have, and granted we're talking about David Myler, who would probably admit himself his qualities aren't based on when he has the ball, it's the energy he can bring. But footballing wise tonight, Arthur, Brady, Hendrick, particularly in the second half when it started to open up and when they were getting opportunities in and around the halfway line on the ball to take it down, to look up, to maybe try and keep hold of possession, and time again, yeah, they just kicked it 40 yards forward.
But it's nerves, Nath. You're getting late on in the game, and a game of such magnitude. What were we talking about before the game? This is a World Cup playoff. The players have that in the heads themselves to an extent. It's in the back of the mind somewhere, so they don't want to make a mistake. They don't necessarily, yes, I understand that, yeah, in an ideal world, yes, they have the quality to do it, they should be bringing it down, they should be playing it. But the pace that game was played at, particularly in the middle third or around the midfield area, it was difficult for any player to really get the ball and then get his head up and then maybe be able to make a pass. We were allowing them to do it, and they didn't have enough quality to open us up. It just comes down to that little bit of edginess, that little bit of nervousness, and that comes into the players' minds because they don't want to make a mistake and give something away that could cost us across the course of the 180 minutes.
Callum O'Dowda was the big call to stick him in. Was it the right call?
He did struggle. Yeah, I have to say that he struggled certainly in the ball. I think from a defensive point of view, he got caught out early on in the game. I think he learned from that quickly. And you could see beneath us, particularly in the second half, there was a little bit more communication between Cyrus Christie and Callum O'Dowda. That certainly was something you touched on before the game. Is that something that you look at? I was saying that we'll see how it goes. We got caught out with it. It's a great point to make, because the lack of communication between the two of them, I think they're both relatively inexperienced. They both want to play for themselves to an extent just to get themselves through the game before they grow in stature. We saw them get caught out in the first half, but second half they learnt from it, and the threat that was coming in the first half down Denmark's left was nullified in the second half. And I think that might have been words that Martin O'Neill would have said to the players at half time.
Is the opportunity then perhaps for the second leg to keep that midfield three there, to bring David Myler back and maybe move Robbie Brady out onto that right wing?
Yeah, possibly. That's a great option for him, and I think that wouldn't surprise me if he did that. If you brought Myler back in and said, look, you could be our you know, stability, you can be our player that we can all feed off around you, us five can get in more advanced positions. I'm not necessarily saying that's the way it's going to be, because we know how we play. We kind of go with a three. When we go 4-3-3, we go with three midfielders that sit a little bit deeper, play within themselves at times.
I see online that Wes Hoolan's name is coming up already in the post game.
Yeah, and that's always going to be the case now over the next few days. We did lack a player of his type, but we nullified any threat. We spoke so openly. Who was the player we spoke about so often? Christian Eriksen. He was the name that kept popping up. Watching the two of them, and we spoke about it beforehand as well, they're a direct side, these. Let's make no bones about it. They're a direct side that like to diagonal ball to try to get in. Jorgensen up front as well, they like to hit him early. Delaney and Kvist don't have real ability on the ball. They're not necessarily going to open us up with the passing ability. Good running ability, good defensive structure to them, so that was it.
Yeah. the Danes aren't happy with this either. It'll be interesting to see what the reaction up here is over the next couple of days and the sort of pressure they're under. Also, you'd imagine that once the manager has a look at this and sees the amount of long balls they played, that they're going to have to go with some sort of another tactic in the second half. Brian Laudrup is just walking past us. He doesn't want to talk.
He's just absolutely blanking there. He has just given you the biggest custard pie
Brian,
ever. Brian,
you're
Nathan
there.
Murphy from News Talk. Can we have a chat with you?
Well, you're a professional. You would have thought he would have recognised you. 110 caps.
He's never looked at me. He has just given you a custard pie there.
I thought
mate.
He might come and talk to
Brian,
us on Irish
Brian,
radio.
Can I have a few words for Irish radio? No, mate. On
no,
you go, pal.
No, you're grand.
I'm not having
you're
that,
grand.
Pal.
I told you they were being quite difficult, Paul's man.
No,
here.
But let's go back. I mean, I think the valid point that you were just making before is about Wes Hoolan. We're going to be chatting about this over the next few days. I can't see him starting the game. I can't. And the reason why it's in my head, I think, the side that's played tonight, we stopped Eriksen. That was the thing that we were speaking about so openly, stopping Eriksen. However we've done it, we've gone with almost like three holding midfielders at time tonight. There was very few opportunities, again, apart from Robbie Brady, that got the opportunity to get forward. We nullified the threat. What we have to do now, we have to find a way to be a bit more creative ourselves, because there's going to have to come a time in a game. You can't sit in for 90 minutes against Denmark on Tuesday night. We're going to have to say, well, look, who's going to take the initiative? Who's going to be that player that might be able to open up? Is it a James McLean? Is it a Robbie Brady? Is it a Callum O'Dowd or whoever it would be? Wes Hoolan comes into the thinking then, because Wes Hoolan puts a different dynamic to our attack. He holds onto the ball. He allows players to get in advance of him. The players have total trust in him to give him the ball, to fire the ball at him, knowing that his first touch is very good, knowing that he can hold on to it, knowing that he can pick a pass out. So it gives the team a different dynamic. I don't think Martin O'Neill will start him, and I think maybe to an extent in my own head I understand that totally, because I think the way that the team was set up tonight was certainly to stop Wes Hoolan with 25, 30 minutes to go on Tuesday night in a similar sort of environment, a similar sort of game. I think that could be the perfect environment for Wes Hoolan to come into.
Sean Kane has tweeted us to add off the ball. I think the cold is getting to you. You are absolute rubbish. And Cave thinks our midfield works, not a single creative instinct in the three of them. 30% possession for the second game in a row. It's embarrassing. Andorra are better than this.
All right, okay, right. I'll listen to that one then, right. So, again, back to my point before, who was the main player tonight that we're all expecting to be that real main man, Christian Eriksen? So we've stopped him. Yeah, I get what they're saying. I get totally what he's saying there, that, yeah, it was poor in possession. We didn't necessarily get the ball down. We didn't play. But let me tell you something now. When you play in a game like this, when there is so much importance of the game, we know what it means. We spoke about the game in 09. Apparently, the economy lost out on €2 billion euro off the back of us not qualifying for a World Cup. What does this game mean to the supporters? What does this game mean to the FAI? What does this game mean to our country in general? That is the weight of expectation that's in every single one of those players that's going out on that pitch tonight. So take nothing away that this game is the biggest. This game is the ultimate game because it means so much, and that is in the player's mind. So it's a no-risk strategy rather than let's take the initiative. I understand what they're saying. He's right, what he's saying, but that is what's at stake here. That is what the players have got to contend with in the next few years leading up to this game on Tuesday.
The issue for Martin O'Neill, I guess, with Wes Hoolan is if he puts him in, who does he take out of that midfield? Because he wants
€2 billion might be an exaggeration. I'll just add to
billion.
That as well.
Well, it was 2009. There were good times.
Yeah, it might be an exaggeration. But I tell you what, no, it's a considerable amount to our to the country. Let me tell you,
Tuesday night. Hey, that's the hype machine taking. Tuesday night, the £2 billion game. Our entire economy rests on this.
Oh Jesus! Come on, let's not put that on the shoulders.
The cold is definitely starting to affect us now. But just on Hoolahan and the way he sets up and the way Jeff Hendrick didn't have his finest game.
No, he
but
didn't.
He probably did a lot of unseen work in that.
Well,
just
so did Arthur. Arthur was poor tonight on the ball, but what he did off the ball was very, very good. And again, it might have been in the player's mind tonight because that name was mentioned every single... All I heard every day was Christian Eriksen. In the last, 3 weeks since the draw's been made, Christian Eriksen. That's all I've heard named. What do you think the players are thinking about when they're coming out to face Christian Eriksen? The videos that would have been shown to them, the positions that he takes up. You know, he's been on such a hot streak, Christian Eriksen, playing for his country. He's got man of the match tonight. You know, did he do anything particularly in the game to really dictate the outcome of this game? No. Were we great on the ball? No, we weren't great on the ball. But in general, it's a 90-minute job done. We take it back to Dublin Tuesday, and I am totally expecting more quality. I'm expecting a great atmosphere at the Aviva, and that's what we're all hoping for.
I wasn't blanked there by Brian Kerr as he walked past.
No. Nope.
The look on Brian Kerr's face, was that a... Yeah, job done. We take that.
Well, I think he'd have taken it. As a manager, I'm sure he'd have taken this one. But I think we're all looking now to Tuesday, and we're all hopeful that we get a better performance with the ball on Tuesday. Because, I take the points and the text and the messages, the tweets we're getting in, that of course, the quality wasn't always there at times. But what are we playing for here? What are we playing for? And you know what the lads will be reading and listening to and watching over the next few days will be this game. How big is this game now on Tuesday, given what's happened here this evening? It's huge.
Does it turn into something of a test of character then over the next couple of days? Do you notice around the dressing room the players who embrace this, who want this, who are going to love walking out in front of 50,000 supporters at the Aviva?
You've got to try to just, stick to your own game plans. Try and stay in your own mindset. Don't necessarily become something that you're not. The lads have got to stick together. Martin O'Neill has built that unity within that squad. He's built something very, very special, and there is a very, very special bond between the players. They have to come together now over the next few days. They've got to look after each other a little bit over the next few days. First of all, get refueled, get the food and the fluids back into the system, get yourself fully prepared from a personal point of view. Look after yourself, yes, but you might have to look after each other as well. That's got to come about as well when you maybe in team meetings, whether the lads are playing the PlayStation, whatever they're doing, they have got to have these little chats. They've got to maybe just give each other a little bit of an idea what they're expecting of each other, because these chats will be had over the next few days, and when they come out on Tuesday, then all these little chats and this little bit of togetherness that's been built over a number of years has got to come to the fore at the Aviva.
And you're very welcome, Max. So this hour will focus on last night's result and how we'll fare on Tuesday. We'll hear from Kenny Cunningham very shortly. Stephen Elliott's here in studio. We will also, across the course of the afternoon, hear from Stephen Reid and from Matt Holland. Dave has been speaking with both the lads there to get their thoughts on things. So just a flavour of the players' mood coming out of the stadium last night. Here's Nathan, who managed to grab Shane Duffy at full time.
Shane, was that exactly the sort of defensive performance you were looking for?
Yeah, well, obviously we didn't want to concede coming here, and we didn't. So yeah, defensively solid, and take away the positives, and that's what we've done, and we're looking forward to Tuesday now.
You did create a few chances, but we were just talking to Kieran Clark, and he was saying that maybe you were surprised that they almost played into your hands by playing so many long balls that seemed to be time and time again, which it appears is very much bread and butter stuff for you.
Yeah, but they're physical. They're a big team. They have big attackers. You usually don't have big attackers. You have little quick ones, and it was you could really switch off, because one ball in, they're big and they'll head it down, and so it was a battle all night. And I'm expecting the same Tuesday. They're physical all over the pitch, a lot more than what I thought they would have been. And yeah, we matched them all. If anyone wants to have a battle with Ireland, I don't think many teams will be out battle us anyway. And listen, it was a good, solid performance from everyone, and we're just looking forward to Tuesday now.
Is there any sense that it could have been more, that we could have nicked the win?
Yeah, you always want to win the games, don't you? But you've got to be realistic. They're a good team on their own patch, and it was never going to be won or lost here tonight, and we had to think like that. And so not conceding the goal is a good start, and taking it back, it's a cup final now sort of feeling, where the winner goes through.
Christian Eriksen had said before the game that they wouldn't mind a scoreless draw, that they felt Ireland were stronger away from home, and the results have sort of backed that up during this campaign. Martin O'Neill's just been saying we need more creativity in the home games. It does need a big step up from previous performances at the Aviva on Tuesday night. Is that something that's very much in your minds?
No, not at all. I think we're quite good at the Aviva, to be honest. I think obviously teams sit back a little bit more against us in the Aviva, because we play a little bit different at home and try and create a lot more, but it's difficult to sit back, and when we go away we soak up a lot of pressure and a bit of respect in that. But as I said, it'll be sort of the same as always, really, with a little bit more creativity hopefully, and get a goal early hopefully, and then settle the nerves a bit.
Do you sense there's a real understanding amongst that back four, back five, with the goalkeeper as well? You're playing a lot of games together now.
Yeah, it's been great. It's not many goals we're conceding, and it's not just the back five. I think it's from the front, the big man up front was doing a lot of defending. He was isolated a little bit, and he was putting a shift in, and then whole way through the middle, the boys in front, they were excellent. And as I said, the more you play with people, it's obviously going to help. And yeah, the more we're playing, it's been good touch. No yellows, no injuries, hopefully, and hopefully we can play again Tuesday.
Nobody can question this group's ability to create big moments at important times.
the wins that have come over the last couple of years, how much confidence does that give you against Tuesday that you can deliver on what is as big an occasion as it gets, getting to a World Cup finals?
Yeah, you've got to take it all in. You've got to experience, but them games are gone now. You've got to take them moments maybe a little bit, but you've got to create more. I think you've got to create them moments again, and as you said, this group's got it, and we believe, and maybe tonight we could have created a moment at the end, or but it weren't to be, and we've got another chance to do it on Tuesday to win the game, and yeah, hoping it's another one of them moments everyone talks about again.
Yeah, we all are. Shane Duffy speaking to Nathan at full time last night. Stephen Elliott, formerly of Sunderland and Wolves and Republic of Ireland internationals, here in studio. Cheers for popping in, Stephen. And Kenny Cunningham, you're on the line, Kenny.
How's it going, lads? All right, Stephen, are you well?
How's it going, Kenny? How are you keeping?
I was listening to you on RTA Radio last
on
night.
What? On what?
Talking a lot of sense. I barely recognise him, to be honest with you. He was talking that much then.
Where were you listening to him? Don't curse on this station.
Does Kenny know who he's talking to here?
News talk.
I have to give him a bit of credit.
Unbelievable. Yeah, you're keeping everyone happy there. That's very clever. Your agent told you to do that, did he? A quote from Paul McGrath, Kenny, in his piece today in the Sunday World. He says, "I was so frustrated watching Ireland last night because I felt our players froze on what was a massive night for us. I felt the chance was there for us to aim to take even more. Denmark didn't offer too much and looked as nervous as we did, but I feel that this Ireland team is better than they may think they are, and they should have the belief to get on the ball. I'd love to have seen McLean piling forward, Jeff Hendrick getting on the ball, spraying it around. I'm a huge fan of Robbie Brady, but he seemed keen to get rid of the ball as quickly as possible." So were you like McGrath, a very, very frustrated viewer last night, or did you think it was an okay performance under the circumstances?
Well, I thought it was a very impressive defensive performance out of possession of football. We look kind of rock solid. Yeah, in possession, yeah, of course, it was far from perfect. You know, we weren't as assured as he would have wanted to have been, get the ball away cheap on a lot of occasions and really didn't carry a huge amount of an attacking threat. So Paul's right in that respect. I just feel as though I was surprised we dropped so deep, Joe, so early in the game. For all that first half, when the Danes played out, we just pretty much dropped onto the edge of our 18-yard box. And their two centre-halves really didn't have to work to get to about 15 yards inside their half. And even then, they were getting their heads up and had all the time in the world to hit those kind of diagonal balls in and around their penalty box. Now, we dealt with it very well. There's probably only one or two odd occasions, the Larson chance in the first half when they actually got through. But I would have loved to have seen us actually take a higher starting position, actually go and engage them even 20, 30 yards higher up the pitch. Because I think we're set up to do it. It was the reason why we beat Wales. If you remember the Jeff Hendrick goal against Wales, second half, driving out from central midfield, put the squeeze and Ashley Williams forcing the mistake, counter-attack from there and getting our goal. And that's where we're very good at. You know, I hear a lot of people talk about we have to create more chances in the game with the Aviva. Yes, we will have to do, but it won't necessarily come from splitting out from the back, playing through the tours and working our way up the pitch. We're going to get the most of our chances by actually pinching the ball off the opposition team and counter-attacking as we have done with great effect. Even the James McLean goal over in Austria, if you remember, David Morley winning it back deep, one pass into Wes, yeah. James McLean, and it's in the back of the net. That's where they're good at. That's where we're good at. That's one of our strengths. But to do, we need to get higher up the pitch, Joe. And that whole defensive unit is impressive as they have been. Shane Duffy, I heard him speaking there, and Kieran Clark. They have to get us up the pitch. Another 20 yards up the pitch, and we have to go engage their two centre-half because I don't think they're good enough to play under pressure, and they'll give us the ball back. And if we pinch that ball back off them 20, 30 yards higher up the pitch, I think we can pick them off. Yeah. So defensively, I thought it was rock solid. I was really impressed. But if there was one caveat to that, I just feel as if we can take our whole defensive game, like I said, 20, 30 yards higher up the pitch.
Yeah, because that, as Kenny says, Stephen, that was the hallmark of the performance in Cardiff. The midfield, everybody pressed them. And Kenny mentioned the Hendrick goal. We're actually quite good at pressing with the energy, with the legs, with the attitude. And, you know, as Kenny says as well, like their centre-half, Kjær, I mean, he nearly opened us up. He did with the Larson one at about 12 minutes in because he was under no pressure. I mean, it was Daryl Murphy trying to close three or four.
Yeah, I don't know whether Kenny would agree with me on this one, whether like the situation with like 8 of our starting 11 last night were on yellow cards and knowing that they had another chance come Tuesday at the Aviva, whether they maybe could have set back that a little bit deeper and known, like kind of unconsciously, because they didn't want to kind of miss the second game. No, like even a few times in midfield, I think a couple of the midfielders could have made a stronger challenge, like when they were coming on to us and they were kind of not the type of challenge that we would have kind of usually seen with him. Even James McLean, like, he usually wires into tackles and kind of sets the tempo a little bit for us. And I think we lacked that a little bit last night. And as I said, the fact that we have the kind of the second kind of chance, so to speak, in Dublin, I don't know whether that played on a lot of the players' minds last night. But like Kenny says,
go jump in, Ken.
No, I know what you're saying, Tim. It's a fair point. I don't think that's the case. You can usually tell. I mean, there must have been discussion leading up to the game, and even the dressing room before, from the management to the players, right, early on, their two centre-half split and get the ball. What are we doing? Are we going to back off? Where are we going to back off to? Where's the trigger point where we go and press? Now, Daryl Murphy can't keep running between two centre-halves and closing the ball down. He wasted a huge amount of energy, wasted energy last night for me, doing a lot of dog between the two centre-halves. Somebody needs to step out and help him out and actually go and press with him. In the system that we're playing with the three midfield, the two advanced midfielders, Robbie and Jeff Hendrick, it's got to be one of those two players. And for me, the weakness of that left-sided centre-half, when the ball gets played across from Kerr to him, Jeff Hendrick has got to be the one who breaks out. And that's the trigger, Stephen. Even early in the game, Jeff sprints out to the left-sided centre-half, and everybody follows in behind.
Yeah.
Harry Arthur last night, it might be David Moyler on Tuesday, fills the space in behind Jeff Hendrick. And the whole back four move, 10, 15 yards high up the pitch. That's the kind of press that I'm talking about.
Now here's the key point, though. Do you think that was worked on and discussed at length in the week?
Well, I'm not too sure. I mean, it looked as if the whole of the first half, if you looked at game, you would have thought, well, clearly they've been told, just back off into your own half the pitch. You mentioned, Joe, the Welsh game. For the first 20, 25 minutes of the Welsh game, it was exactly the same.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure, looking at the players, where we've got some clear pictures in our head of exactly how we're going to close the ball down. I think players do it instinctively. They understand how to close down. Jeff Hendrick plays the exact same role at Burnley in that advanced midfield position. I've seen him do it. He knows he has to spring out and engage that spare centre-half. So there'll come a point in the game where he'll go and do it naturally anyway, and people will follow. But I'm never quite sure at the start of the game, looking at us when we go pressing the ball, whether everybody's got those clear pictures in terms of when we're going to press, where the trigger's going to come from, and exactly when we're going to do
it. They pressed us a lot quicker last night, Kenny, didn't he? Like when they know if they press us that we're going to give the ball back to them. And when looking at us, we were like thinking, well, when they have the ball, I don't think if they're, like you said, they're good enough. Like, I think if we do get a press on, like you say, that little bit higher, I don't think they're that much better. Obviously, you've got Ericsson there, but player for player, they're not, you wouldn't look at them and say they're miles technically better than us.
Absolutely.
Do you know?
So, no, right.
So, but like I said, the fact that it was away from home, even at both teams to an extent, they know that this game, there was another leg to it. And as I said, I predicted a nil-all kind of draw before the game, and it wasn't a big surprise to me. It was like both teams, like even them, they had like seven players on yellow cards as well. It was kind of like a timid kind of performance by both teams. I just felt like they knew there was another kind of leg to come. Like, well, obviously there is, but it's like they kind of played that way as well, looking at it.
But so, going back to Kenny's point there, because I think it's a crucial one, and there are certain things I absolutely will let the management team away with, like our quality on the ball at times. It can just happen, those kind of games. But say on the press, Kenny, you're talking about the trigger and something which is choreographed. We had Harry Arthur on the show after the Wales game, and I asked him about that point. Did you get together and decide midweek, well, we're going to press them and we're going to have a trigger and we're going to do all that kind of stuff? And he said, not really. I just knew myself I wanted to do it after the Georgia game. So it's not like it's something that's really been worked on. And listening to you, it sounds like your opinion as a pro watching the press, it doesn't look particularly choreographed. It's lads taking it on themselves here and there.
Yeah, and it's a shame because we're talking about, I mean, there's a lot to come from that. I mean, that's a bit of basic organisation. To some extent, that's the easiest part of the game in terms of setting yourself up in terms of winning the ball back, whether it's a high press, medium press, low, whatever it is, and just giving the players a few clear pictures. Invariably, we only play with one centre forward, so you're playing against two centre half. So somebody's got to go engage that spare centre half. Generally speaking, it's a wide player who narrowing up on that side, or if you have a spare midfield, you're playing with two number eights as we are, generally it's one of those players. They anticipate the ball being passed across the back, and by the time the ball arrives, you're almost there. You're in 5-10 yards of the centre-half, you're putting pressure on, you're cutting balls to the inside, you're pretty much dictating where he's going to play the ball. Now, there's not too many centre-halves, and Stephen Lowe in those circumstances, when he puts the pressure on, who are good enough to keep the composure and not get affected by that. By and large, they'll just hoof the ball up the pitch, and if they do that, that's meat and drink to us. We'll deal with that all day of the week. But if they try and be a bit clever and play on the inside, clever little balls, we'll pinch you. And if we pinch you, we're pinching a 25-30 yard part of the pitch. We were winning the ball last night, Joe, 5 yards outside our penalty box. and immediately having to play two or three quick passes under pressure to get the ball up the pitch.
But you see, Kenny, you
can't do it.
When Harry Arter picked up the ball a few times, like, you know, in decent possession, and he kind of looked forward, and like, this is just in front of the D in the box, and there's nobody really for him to kind of pass the ball to. And like, a lot of people would say, yeah, Wesley Houlihan should play, but like, I think if Wesley's playing in that game last night in a similar way of us playing, he doesn't really affect the game, because he'll be picking up the ball in similar positions to that, where he can't really hurt the teams. And that's why, like you say, we do need to get higher up the pitch, and I think we will, though. I think we will on Tuesday, because I think when we need to kind of get a result, we kind of have that little bit of kind of, I don't know, a little bit of devilment in us to kind of get up there.
We
and
do, I think we should be doing this regardless, Stephen.
I think everybody thinks that the game is irrelevant to me
because I could understand it if by pressing hard up the pitch you're leaving yourself wide open, there's an inherent risk, a high risk. But there's not, as long as the whole team is compact moving up the pitch, the distances are right between the various units. The only real danger comes if the opposite centre half punts it into the space in behind your defenders that you're actually leaving. Now, from what I saw there forwards last night, I wouldn't be overly worried about that. I don't think too many of their front three can run past us in behind. And as long as the defensive line's good, the keeper's got a good starting position, that shouldn't be a problem for you. So regardless of the circumstances of the game, where you're looking to keep things tight, you have to go and win the game, whatever the circumstances, for me, this is consistent. This really shouldn't change. Because for me, we're not putting ourselves particularly at risk by going and pressing the ball high up the pitch. The only reason you're putting yourself at risk is that if you're not preparing yourself, you're not organised, you haven't done the work before you go on the pitch, and people are a little bit individual, just closing down instinctively. That's when good teams will actually play through you and exploit it. I personally don't think this team's good enough, and I think with a certain level of organisation over the next couple of days, if we get this right, it's going to be the biggest factor in the game. I don't think we have to play, pass the ball particularly well against Denmark. I don't think we have to play a particularly open, expansive game. But I think if we can press the ball high up the pitch and we're effective at doing it for 90 minutes, I think we'll generate good chances off the back of that, and probably enough chances to go and win the game.
But Kenny, why would we get that level of organisation over the next couple of days in the build-up to this game when we didn't?
Because it matters, Dave.
It mattered ahead of this game last night, and we didn't. And we had a week to prepare for the game last night. The players met up on Monday evening, and that organisation clearly wasn't in place. So how will that happen over the next 48 hours?
Well, look, this is my opinion. Maybe the tactic was last night. Like I said, looking at that game last night, you would have thought, well, Lauren, they're just sitting deep. They're letting the centre-half, Denmark, walk into where half the pitch, you know, and we're keeping nice and compact. We're going to sit at the edge of the box, deny them space in behind, and basically say break us down, which they weren't able to do. But the problem, the domino effect of that, Dave, is when we do win the ball back, we're a hell of a long way from the opposition goal. We've got every player apart from Morph pretty much camped on the edge of our 18-yard box.
Kenny, the thing that we were listening to Shane Duffy speak before the game there, and the thing that stuck in my mind, like, and I'm not kind of slagging off the performance last night. It can be better, but at the end of the day, it's a nil-all draw away from home. We're right bang in this tie. But I just think Shane Duffy says, oh, we all defended as a team. Even Daryl Morphy, like, he was getting it. And for me, as a forward myself, like, I was looking at the game last night, and I can guarantee you, Daryl Morphy did not enjoy playing in that game. Do you know what I mean? He probably enjoyed being part of kind of the result and that. But as a forward, man, you don't want to be kind of picking the ball up in your right back channel when you're one up front in your own, and obviously setting it back to the right back who kind of goes long, and we actually hadn't got anybody's inside their half whatsoever, and there's no chance you can get up the pitch when you're set up like that. And for me, I think the coaching staff, I don't know whether they can do this in like a couple of days, but they kind of need to realise that if we need to score a goal, which I think we probably will, maybe two, come Tuesday, we're going to have to kind of do something regarding that, whether that involves kind of getting two forwards on the pitch at some stage in the game, I don't know. But like, for me, a front man should play in and around the kind of penalty area, albeit down the channels as well at times. But Daryl Morphy was like an extra midfielder last night. At times it was like a 4-6, and obviously that's the way they set up the play. Which,
but maybe that isn't the way they're set up, Stephen. Well, that's just the way the players found themselves playing under the circumstances, with the pressure of the game, everyone on a yellow card, and it wasn't necessarily the fact that the management had said, we're going to keep it really tight, I want you to sit deep, stand off Denmark, and Daryl will just try and hold it up where possible. I wouldn't wonder if there was any managerial input into how deep we were last night.
But Dave, it's a real shame that we don't, because like you said, there's huge benefits. I mean, you've quoted Shane Duffy there saying, look, we defend as a team. Nobody's saying you got to defend in a different way. I'm pretty much saying defend exactly the same way. The principles you showed last night, the decisions that they were making, individual decisions were excellent.
Just further up the pitch.
Higher up the pitch.
Yeah.
Just do a 20-yard hurdle. That's all I'm saying. And get people in contact with Daryl Murphy. Daryl was hugely isolated last time. We won the ball back. We were smashing balls up to him. We know he can't hoard people in behind with his pace. Opposition defenders know that very quickly. Dale would have done their work on Daryl Murphy.
Yeah.
Their centre-half would have known, look, he can't hoard us in behind. Try and nick the ball off the front. And if even the perfect ball that's hit to his feet is going to be difficult for him to retain, because we haven't got players in
too long again. Bodies get round him, isn't it? Like he needs three touches, and then he's got two joints on his back, and he's trying to kind of sort them out as well as kind of wait for support. And it's very difficult as a front man to do that.
I'd say it's soul destroying. And here's why: like, so when everyone's texting and saying we didn't play any football and we can't put any passes together, the players are useless. Well, actually, listening to you two guys, the starting point is how high up the defence are going to sit. Can they get further up the field and put the opposition under pressure? And therefore, when we win a ball, you're not under pressure somewhere near your 18-yard box, where, frankly, I don't care if you hoof the ball. Like, you're under pressure, you want to get rid of the ball. Like, if we're all further up the pitch, the point is we'll be more likely to put moves together and try and play. Like, there was a brief moment in the first half where Brady and McLean on the left-hand side, a bit higher up the pitch, worked a few little combinations, tried something, which they can't, you know, they can't try that in their own half. They tried it further up the pitch.
We need to get more possession in the final last.
Well, like, you said,
when we do, we carry a threat. Even against Wales, we struggle to get any sustained pressure on their goal. But any time we walk the ball by hook or by crook into the last third of the pitch around their penalty box, we're in danger. We really are. When we put crosses into the box, we commit players into the box, we've got good headers of the ball, they're brave. You know, we carry a real threat. We just can't get enough of the ball in the last third of the pitch.
Yeah, sorry to ask a basic question here then. Why, at the very least, on their kickouts, are we not squeezed right up?
Well, I don't know. Well, especially like me, looking at the game, we're not squeezing up. Like Kenny said earlier on, like, I think we can afford to be up a good five, six, 7 yards even up, because they had no pace really that you think
in behind.
So you're thinking, why are they so deep? But at the same time, like, I go back to the Serbia game when a lot of people said no at the Aviva there when we got beaten in the game. A lot of people were like, oh, it was a lot more positive display, albeit it was a first defeat in the campaign, and people are saying we looked like we gave her a bit of a go. So Martin and I might be looking at that and saying, yeah, a lot of people are saying we gave a goal, we looked like we could have played a little bit better, and we kind of looked to play, but we lost the game.
Yeah.
So maybe he's thinking, you know what, to hell with everybody and their opinions. Like, to him, that's our way, and if this works for us and we end up kind of going to Russia now in the summer, then nobody will be worried about how we qualify. There'll be another campaign out of the way, and it'll kind of be a positive result.
And
albeit,
Steve, is that fair enough? Is he fair enough to say, I've had a look at this, and actually I know, I hear what Kenny Cunningham's saying on the radio that we should squeeze up, and I hear him, but actually I feel a lot safer with us sitting deep.
Well, that's it. It's like, it comes down to like a little bit of trust. We're going back to the Trapattoni era when he played that way, when he says we weren't good enough to play any other way. And a lot of people were saying like maybe you are better, and we're still saying that now, but we still kind of seem to be playing the same way. So I don't know. Like, are we good enough to kind of go out there and take the teams and play? I believe we're a little bit better, but at the same time, I can understand a little bit more from Martin O'Neill's point of view. Right, okay, well, this is a tried and kind of trusted way of playing, and it's got to us in a situation where we've got a home tie against Denmark, and we win that game, and we're on the plane to Russia, which is like an outstanding achievement if he does it.
Yeah, Kenny, I'm sensing at their kickouts, if you're centre half, you're saying to everyone, let's squeeze up.
Well, that's a given. I mean, that's.
And are we doing that?
I'd actually be encouraging them. I at times actually wouldn't be looking to press their two centre-halves when the keeper's spotting on the 6-yard box. I'd be actually encouraging them to play out to the centre-half, particularly that left side of the centre-half. So initially I'd be dropping off, telling more for wherever Shane Long, drop off, let them have it. Let them play that initial pass out to the centre-half, whether it's Kerr, the right side of the centre-back. As soon as he takes a big touch and he travels maybe 10, 15 yards from the edge of his 15, is the edge of his penalty box, and he looks to play that square ball across the left side of the centre-half, for me, then, that's the trigger.
It's like the Wales goal, isn't it? That's what you're kind of describing there a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the trigger for Jeff Hendrick. He should be even on his way. As soon as Kerr puts his head in, before he even strikes the ball, Jeff's on his way. So by the time that ball travels 25 yards to the left side of centre-half's feet, Jeff is already there. The right winger isn't in close contact to the fullback. Yeah. Everybody else is squeezed in behind.
No, we hear you.
Halfway line.
We didn't try that once.
But can you see
We did not even try that once last night. Did that happen once?
No, I can't remember. What I'm trying to say, Kenny, do you think the lads, never mind the coaching staff, know as a player, when I was in the squad with yourself, you would speak a lot, and like, obviously I was a young lad.
I'd say you did.
I was a young lad in the squad, and you kind of set, you'd be speaking. You'd speak to the players and say, listen, you can, like, you kind of speak to each other and say, you set the trap, he takes a touch. You know, you'd speak as a player, like, if you're playing on any football team, you kind of have little points that you kind of pass an advice to whoever's playing, just to try and help you. I don't know whether we kind of do that. Like, I'm sure I'd like to think the lads do. There's enough experience in the squad there now to kind of do that. But looking at the game, it's like, it might take a little bit of communication, say, from somebody behind Jeff Hendricks, right? Go on, let him have invite it, then you go. I don't know whether they do that. And that's like,
we should have those
basic skills.
Like, themselves 5 minutes into the
exactly,
game.
Exactly, but that's
right,
what I'm
saying. One of their centre halves is spare, right? Who's going to go and close them? That should be done. That should be nailed down.
But the fact that we didn't do it, that, like Joe says, are we talking to each other? Are we just too busy at keeping them out? Like, for example, I remember Randolph had the ball in his hands at second half. One stage, and Cyrus Christie was in an acres of space for about 10 seconds, and all he had to do was give it to him, which, you know what I mean? If there's somebody in that amount of space, you usually give them the ball, but he kept on to it, and then he ended up just going long, and then within seconds, we were back deep in on our own box and defending again. And it's like, is that what way we play? Is that our way?
Listen, I'm not. Don't take it that I'm being overly critical. For us. No. When we're in possession of the football, that's different. In terms of how we get from back to front when we've got comfortable possession of the ball, I'm not being overly critical. I'm certainly not the players. I actually advocate quite a direct style of playing, getting the ball from back to front early, getting into wide areas and getting the ball as quickly as possible into the box. So I have no great problem with that we don't over-elaborate and look to play in the inside. But all I'm talking about is in terms of how we defend. I actually think we can defend even better. And by defending better and be more positive and defending higher up the pitch, I think that'll keep them further away from our goal. It'll help us. And not only that, from an attacking point of view, it'll enable us to go and pinch the ball and spring quickly at their penalty box, which we're very good at.
That's
a big positive though that we do have. There's a great unity there in that team. Now they've been through a lot together over the last 2-3 years, and you can see that, like, they're all willing to fight for the cause. And I know people say that's a given, but still, like, when you know you've got that trust in your teammates, no matter what way you're playing, to kind of stay in the game and kind of still be in with a show, I think that's a big positive that we need to take on into Tuesday.
But if we can add it, you're right, Steve, but if we can add a tactical element to that as well, that's going to make us even better.
That's the magic question, isn't it? That feels like a big if at the moment. That feels like a big enough if. Kenny, can you hang on 2 minutes? We've taken our break, or do you have to go?
Minute and a half, I'll wait.
Okay. Bye. I'm just going to read text before that. Guys, I'm not sure I want to watch another game like last night. Surely we can't be this poor. Jesus, we'll be lucky to score a goal in the tournament if we get there, says Tommy and Mayo. Screw the whingers and the purists. So what if we were crap last night? Point is, we're still in a position of strength to qualify. And that had to be the main objective last night. If qualifying for next year's World Cup means parking 10 buses and digging a trench around the Irish goal on the Aviva on Tuesday night, so be it, says Tom. Was Trap right, so lads, that we just don't have the players to play pretty football? It's about being solid at the back and just hoping for a goal. Lads, when are you and others in the media going to sit down and take a large dose of reality? We don't have the players, and we haven't had them for quite some time to play decent football. You are chastising the team for not playing. Funny enough, Mike and Cork, we're not. Actually, we're even Kenny, they're very clear on that point. It's about what we're doing when we don't have the ball, which could make us better when we win the ball back. So you're not listening as closely, Mike, as you might think. Your analysis, you say, though, is completely flawed. And given the basis of that analysis and your subsequent frustrations, is that we have an option to play differently. Well, I think we do. As you heard Kenny explain, and Stephen, we could press them in a completely different way, and it would just transform what we have to do on the ball as well. So we're not necessarily just criticising the fact we don't have Lionel Messi in the team. Welcome back. We've Stephen Elliott and Kenny Cunningham with us in the line. We'll hear very shortly from Matt Holland, who's been speaking to Dave earlier on. We might bring you some more post-match from the stadium last night. Kieran Clark spoke to Nathan and Darren Randolph as well. Dave, there's huge results coming in from GAA club action.
Yeah, there are many, many people's favourites for the All-Ireland. Well, they're gone. Vincent's knocked out of the Leinster Championship by Rathnew today, 113-109. That's a huge upset, an incredible result for Rathnew. Congratulations to them. Port Leash are also gone. They've been beaten by Kildare's Moorfield, 109-11 points. Simon Town Gales from Meath have beaten beaten Starlight to Wexford 112 to 8 points, and Mullan Alacta have been beaten by a point, going down to St Lomond 111 to 112. In Connacht, Castlebar in the Connacht final, they've beaten Turlestrand by 113 to 9, and they're playing extra time in the game between Currafin and St Brigid's. Bridges need to score two late frees to force extra time, and it is 113 apiece, 6.5 minutes into the first period of extra time. Dr Croats have cruised into another Munster final. They've beaten Kilmurry of Brechin 219 to 10 points, and it's half time in the other semi final. Nemo 2-6, Adair 2 points, and they're also playing extra time in the Ulster semi final between Derrygonnelly and Cavan Gaels. It finished 10 points apiece at full time. So when that full time score comes in, we'll bring it to you. But the big news of the day, it's that St Vincent's are out of the All-Ireland Club Championship.
Wow. Can you be a football fan and an Ireland fan? Is a very philosophical question into 53106. Lads, talk about a penalty shootout. It's a real possibility now. I'll ask the lads about that. Hi, Joe. Kenny makes so much sense. Oh, no, I'm not reading that. Kenny makes so much sense. Simple, logical, clear, understandable. I could see him being very effective as a game strategist for Martin O'Neill. Any chance, wonders Eugene in Belgrade.
I'm prepared to jump, but look, I'm only 40 minutes from Stansted. I can be over there in an hour and a half.
Lads, some good points made. I don't understand why, after the type of goal we scored against Wales, the players are not getting together if, as you say, Martin O'Neill isn't doing very much on the training ground, and agreeing to replicate the same type of trap for the Danish fullback or centre half. Is it because they don't know they're playing till an hour beforehand, or what, says a texter. I could have written that myself.
Well, that's it. That's it. That's the thing. Like, there's a lot said about him calling out his team, like, was an hour or so before the... I don't know if I'm correct last night. I think the team was announced in the stadium before he told the players last night, supposedly. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but like...
I hadn't heard that.
If that's the case, then...
Because you hear... I know you talked to some of the players. I'm not hanging you to dry. So you reckon it was in the stadium before...
Well, I don't know. It's just somebody mentioned it last night. Whether there was any truth or not, you're just saying it tongue-in-cheek, like having a bit of a kind of pop. O'Neill, I don't know.
Well, we did hear Kieran Clark tell us that he found out very close to the game that he was captain. It's a huge deal for someone like him who's never captained Ireland in a game with that magnitude before. And so if they're only finding out an hour before the game that they're playing, it stands to reason that they're not really finding out how they should be setting themselves up at any stage during the week.
Well, you say, like Daryl Murphy, for instance, Stephen, you've played that position. I presume if we're looking at press, setting some kind of trap, as the texter talks about, that we set against Wales, if we're looking to do that from at a kick out or whatever, you would have to think Daryl Murphy is fairly important in that trap and what he does. So it's not like he's going to be sitting up the night before as the lads are playing PlayStation or hanging around having a cup of tea and having those little chats about, well, when he goes here, you go there, no?
Well, I think you should know the team. Like, I don't know what Kenny thinks, but I think you should know the team before, like, a little bit more time before, like just before kickoff, because like you say, you need to kind of have a game plan and have a strategy. Like you say, if you're going to go and play, you're going to set traps, or you're going to sit back, you're going to press high, all this stuff. This is all comes from the management and the coaching staff. That's why you have managers and coaches there to kind of give you a kind of give you a way of playing, like, and a strategy, like, because if that was the case, we wouldn't need a manager. But in saying that, Martin O'Neill will turn around and say, well, why is he going to change something that he's done for the last 25, 30 years and been successful with? So it's kind of, I don't know, catch 22. What do you do?
Well, it does sound like, Joe, we're giving absolutely no credit to a management team that have got the team that they manage into this position. Like, can it be possible, Kenny, that these players have qualified for the European Championships and have come now within 90 minutes of qualifying for a World Cup in spite of their management team rather than because of them? It does seem a bit far-fetched.
Oh, yeah, no, I wouldn't say that at all. That's been too strong. I'd like to think I'm not coming across being overly critical of the team, because I'm not. I'm actually quite excited, not so much in terms of the overall quality performance last night, because when I look at that performance last night, it was good enough to get us a nil-all draw away to Denmark, and we earned that, we warranted it. But I look at the performance and I think there's real areas there that we can improve upon. We've spoken about the biggest part for me in terms of how we chased the ball down, and that's something for me which doesn't take a huge amount of time on the training pitch. In fact, you don't actually have to go on the training pitch. That can be done in the video analysis room over the next couple of days. It can be done on the tactics board. If you're talking about style of play and how we're going to play, generally speaking, well, that's a bigger question. That takes a little bit more time to bed in. But in terms of kind of significant improvement between now and the game of the Aviv in a couple of days' time, that's it for me. And for me, that's where the game's going to be won. If we can get that right, and like I said, it doesn't take an awful lot to get that right behind the scenes. And irrespective of whether Martin names the team and there before, we've all got our opinions on that. I agree with Stephen, personally. My own opinion, I'd like to know sometime previously. But even if not, you can still do that work, regardless of if you know who's going to be starting. People generally know if they've got a chance they're going to be playing. If they're going to be playing, they know what position they're going to be playing. So regardless of who's playing in whatever positions, everybody should know what's expected of them in any area of the pitch, in and out possession of the football. You need those clear little pictures in your head for me, I think, before you go on the pitch. It kind of gives you confidence for me. It certainly gives me confidence going onto the pitch, knowing who I was coming up against, knowing his individual strengths, even collectively the team, how we're going to play, how we're going to defend. All those things assured me, calmed me down, actually gave me a little bit of confidence. And if we can get that right from the start, and we'll know the first 5 minutes at the Aviva, lad, in terms of how we press the ball early on. You can see the triggers. You see people reacting off each other. If we've done the work and we get that right, for me, that's going to be the biggest factor in terms of whether we win or lose this game.
I think the crowd can be a lift as well on Tuesday. Do you know, Kenny? Because like you're at home, you're going to have like we need to get behind them there on Tuesday night. Like, because the more noise you hear, you know, it can upset the opposition. Oh, if like somebody flies into a challenge. I say that flies into a challenge because it's not as if somebody's going to do something really skillful looking at us at the moment. So
but then why, Stephen, have all of our most recently decent performances come away from Dublin?
Well, I don't know. Maybe
like at times you feel the crowd is actually a hindrance to the performance levels of this.
Well,
group
I think
players,
in this
so much pressure
in this one-off game, I think we can kind of just forget. Put everything what happened in this campaign behind us and just say, listen, like this is like kind of a cup final type of game. I know Kevin mentioned a lot of money last night as the game, but it has that kind of feel to it. One of the texters mentioned, it could go to penalties. It has that kind of cup final feel to it, and it's like a one off game but we're going to have the majority of supporters at the game, and we can create a huge kind of lift to the team by kind of just being there and singing our hearts out and just kind of getting behind
them. The crowd isn't going to get behind us for very long if we're too passive. If we play like we did say in the first half last night in terms of sitting behind the ball, being passive, allowing them possess the ball to dictate. Yes, we are very comfortable, but very quickly those energy levels are going to drop inside the stadium. But if we can get on the front foot, if we go chasing them higher up the pitch and go and look to engage them in their half the pitch. And I'm not talking about flying into stupid tackles. I'm talking about being very cold and calculating what you're doing, closing people down, making tackles, making interceptions. That the crowd are going to feed off that, and they're going to respond to that, and that's what's going to charge the atmosphere inside the stadium.
Do you think if we score an early goal, Kenny? Do you think if we score an early goal on Tuesday? Do you think we sit back and then just soak up pressure for the not the way Darrell scored early there against Moldova that time? Do you think we score a goal similar time to that in the game? We go 1-0 up. Do you think we sit back for 80 odd minutes? Or?
Yeah, I think it's a natural thing to do. But what I'm talking about in terms of going after the ball, high up the pitch, Stephen, I'd do it first minute, last minute of the game. It doesn't bother to me the individual circumstance of the game. Because for me, it makes sense. From a defensive point of view, you're actually keeping the opposition team as far away from your goal as possible. You're denying them getting that good quality ball into, say, the likes of Ericsson that we're talking about, because you're putting pressure on their centre-half. What they're doing is they're launching the ball back to front, and Ericsson's now is feeding on scraps rather than the centre-half having time to get the heads up and feed little balls into them. And then from an offensive point of view, by going and engaging them in their half the pitch and doing what we're actually very good at, where we can pinch balls off them and immediately counter. We can drive into those spaces in their half the pitch and very quickly get to the edge of their penalty box and get that goal.
Yeah.
And if we get the first goal, Stephen, for me, we do the exact same. We keep going after
but
them.
But we won't, though, Kenny. That's the thing. Yeah. We won't if we score, I don't feel.
Kenny, we've teased out what you want to see in terms of pressing the opposition, definitely. I think a lot of people listening will be looking out for that on Tuesday. A question I'll put to both of you. Stephen, you first. What changes would you make to the starting lineup for Tuesday, and what changes do you think will actually happen?
What I would do, I would obviously bring Myler back in. I would probably take Callum Odada out of the team. I would probably change Daryl Morphy as well for Shane Long to give us a little bit more. I know he's not full of confidence at the moment goal-wise, but I think he has that bit of kind of an edge to his game in the channels. Like, if we're going to kind of get the ball up the pitch, I think he can get free kicks with his pace. He can suck defenders in and kind of ride challenges as well. I'd probably take Jeff Henrick out of the team and play Wes, although I don't think that's going to happen. What I think will happen, I think Moyle will come in, Odelda will come out, and I do think he might play Shane Long. They'll be the two changes.
Kenny?
What I think Martin will do, David Moyler to come in. If Harry Arthur is still fit, Harry Arthur just to push a little bit forward into that advanced position and flip Robbie Brady onto the right-hand side and place Callum O'Dowda. My own personal choice, and Shane Long obviously up front, my own personal choice would be Moyler to come in Robbie and Jeff Hendry to remain in their positions. Shane to go up front. I would take Callum O'Dowd out. He had a decent game, Callum, but I'd take him out, use him off the bench, and I'd throw Wes on there. And I'm not a big, oh, Wes has got to play. Wes don't play, we don't win, kind of one of these. I think we can win with or without Wes. I'd love to see Wes even operating off that right side of a three, because he can drift inside onto that, onto the left foot there, into those little pockets. He can open that channel up for Sardis Christie to get on the outside, which we know he can do very well. And once he comes on the inside, Wes, he can make things happen. He can pick out runners. Jeff and Robbie can get themselves ahead of the ball, and he'll pick them out. I really feel as if he can influence the game, even operating off the right-hand side, not as a natural winger, but just drifting inside and operating in those little areas, those little pockets in that inside right channel.
And do you think, I mean, do you think he will play Wes?
No, I don't think he will. I don't think he will play Wes. And like I said, either one of those teams, I'd be perfectly happy with, so long as kind of the discussion that we're talking about in terms of tactically how we set up, we go after the ball, is the same. But for me, I would lean towards Wes, just in terms of that bit of calmness, that little bit of quality which we need, certainly in the early part of the game, to settle into the game and get a little bit of a foothold into the game. He's the one who clearly we all
know.
Thing is,
if Wes doesn't play, we might never see him again in an Irish top, which would be a really shame.
Don't say that. We're going to have a minute's silence on the show when Wes retires. And I think if you're silent for more than 20 seconds, some kind of thing kicks in, but we're doing it anyway.
The way the second half on Tuesday night's going to go, if we're still scoreless at half time, Stephen, how soon in the game, given that the way these two teams seems to be pretty similar, and technically we're on a similar base as well, bar maybe the odd player like Ericsson, there's going to come a point where both teams are thinking, I'm not going to be a member of the side that makes the mistake here, and they'll both settle for extra time and penalties. I just wonder, could that come actually quite early in the second half?
I think so. I think, like, looking at the game the other night, and if we set up anyway similar to what we did, then I wouldn't be surprised at all to see the match go into the extra time period. Like you say, last 20-25 minutes, nobody will want to kind of make a mistake, but that's when you look to somebody to kind of take the game by the grip, by the scruff of the neck, and maybe do something a little bit kind of magical. But no, like you say, I think we'll be very near. If it's still nil all, we're kind of 65-70 minutes on the clock, I'd be very, very surprised if we don't see extra time.
Kenny, what are you predicting for Tuesday before we let you go?
I'm quietly confident.
So
that's probably the best way to describe it.
So you're more very quiet about it than very confident.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I think we'll do it if we go about it the right way, like we were talking, a lot of ifs and buts there and thrown in. I think we've got the quality. I think we have the quality there. Even the individual. I know Stephen talks about the collective spirit, determination, which is all great. But I do think we have match winners in the team. We just need to get them higher up the pitch.
Get them near the goal.
If we do that, we'll have enough.
Yeah. Here's just a quick clip of Martin O'Neill, who was just speaking about Tuesday, and really the likelihood, I guess, that Denmark are going to score one anyway.
I think with the players that they possess, I believe that they're capable of scoring a goal. So it means we might have to score two to win the match. And that's the way I'm looking at it. So we'll have to show a bit more creativity during the course of the game at the Aviva, but I think that we're capable of doing that, urged on by the big crowd as well too. I think that we have a lot to play for anyway.
So Stephen Elliott, that's where Kenny's confidence gets even quieter. If Denmark score and we to score two, then you really start thinking, oh, that is a big ask.
Yeah, well, if they score, it is a big ask. But then, listen, we'll have to totally change our game plan if they score a goal. Simple as, otherwise we won't be in the World Cup. And hopefully they don't score. I think that'll be the first job, is to keep them out from scoring. And I'm sure if you probably said to Martin O'Neill now, listen, we'll give you a penalty shootout, he'd probably take that now. I think the way we play and the way we've kind of played all this campaign.
Would you take a penalty shootout now if I gave it to you?
I probably would. I would take it, yeah.
Despite us being at home. We're at home, and it's there for us.
I know it's there for us, but like, You have to kind of, what have you seen to make you think, yeah, I think we can go? And like, if they score, like you say, if we think that they're going to score a goal, what have we seen so far that we think we can go and kind of score two goals? So if you ask me the question, do I take it? I would, yeah. I fancy us to win us, beat them in the penalty shootout too.
What are you basing that on?
Roundup looks being in good form.
There you go, Kenny.
Would you take one?
Would I take a penalty or would I take the shoe out?
Would you? Well, both.
No, I wouldn't take a penalty. The 0-2 World Cup proved that against Spain. And no, definitely wouldn't take the penalty shootout. We've got more than enough to go and turn this team over. They're fragile. They're fragile defensively. We just never got at them the other night. Like I said, get at them higher up the pitch, put the squeeze on them. I think they'll fold.
I think I'd take a penalty shootout as well, to be honest.
I think it's a real sad sign of where we're at, though, that we would take a penalty shootout.
It's only Stephen Elliott who'd take one. The rest of the population wouldn't.
No, I'd take it. There's a good chance we'd create a goal if we had to go through in normal time,
then we're going to have to score two goals, yeah. I think. That's my logic.
O'Neill is kind of even saying there, look, there's a good chance they might nick a goal here. So
they're going to be more expansive than what they were in the game. They're going to have to kind of say to themselves, right, we need to score. They're not going to want a penalty shootout too. They didn't play as well as they probably could have done as well. Yeah.
They can only play one way, Steve, and they can only launch it. I'm telling you, if they try and play another way, I hope they do, because as I said, we'll pinch it off and we'll get at them. Okay. I think they've only got one way to play. I think we can actually mix our game up a little bit more than them, and I think we have more potential match winners in our team. Just need to get them into those areas where we can hold them.
Are you over on in Dublin on Tuesday, Kenny? Or
I may not, but you invite me. You invite me over, Joey. I may not. I'll be sitting on the sofa as I was last night with the dog on my feet, I'd imagine.
Okay. Well, enjoy it, and we hope that quiet conference gets a bit louder come kick-off time when you see the team.
Yeah. Oh, indeed.
All right, man. Thanks a million.
Cheers, Kenny.
See you, Kenny.
Take care, Steve. Good luck.
I'm there. And Stephen Elliott here in studio. Yeah, penalty shootout.
I don't know, can my heart stomach commentating?
It'd probably be an empty
stadium
if we went to a penalty shootout, wouldn't everybody? Just wouldn't be able to.
Oh, my God, it'd be too much. You, as a striker in the team, if you were on the pitch, you'd have to take one. And that is just an obscene amount of pressure. That's worse than taking one against Spain in 0-2.
No, it is. So, as I said, I've never took a penalty in a shootout for Ireland.
You scored a penalty in the Faroes, didn't you?
No, I got took down with a penalty. Hardy took it, didn't he?
That's fair enough.
But like, no, as a penalty shoot and you're a four and you're on the pitch, you feel like I've never not took one in a penalty shoot over being on the pitch. So
what's your record?
I've only ever missed one.
Out of how many? One.
Seven or eight.
Right, okay.
So it's not too bad. Like,
who are our penalty takers very quickly?
You're probably looking at Robbie Brady.
Robbie's
anyway.
One, yeah.
James McLean will take one, won't he?
I'd say Myler would step up.
Myler would take one, yeah.
That's three.
Henricks. No.
Yeah, Henrik, you would think so.
Arthur.
Four.
Harry Arthur, yeah. There's a few there that I'd like.
I'd say Shane Duffy would want one.
Stephen Ward. He's
blasted into the roof of the net.
Stevie Ward, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful striker of the ball.
Okay,
yeah.
That'd be six.
We'll win 2-1 on penalties.
Cyrus Christie won.
2-1 on penalties.
I mean, Randolph's in good form. Would Shane Long take one?
That's the thing. If he's on the pitch, he'll be expected to take one.
February.
Yeah. So,
like, can you turn around to Shane Long if he comes on for Daryl? Say Murphy starts, Daryl Murphy, and Long's on the pitch.
Well, Morph would take one. It depends on who starts.
He won't last 120 minutes.
Yeah. Whoever starts, the other forward will probably be on the pitch. So, and they'll have to take one. So, if Shane Long starts, he'll be off. Morph will take. He'll score a penalty. He scored a few for Forrest and that, I think. And so, yeah.
God.
Does it in any way affect team selection, wondering in your own mind who you may wish to have still on the field to hit a penalty?
I think in extra time, like if the game goes to extra time, Martin O'Neill will be looking at if he has any subs left, or might depend on injuries through the game. He might be thinking, right, I'll put him on because he'll take a penalty.
He's a specialist, yeah.
So we don't really have any penalty specialists.
And maybe pull a Louis Van Halen and really freak out the Danes by keeping one substitution free and bring in Rob Elliott for Darren Randolph.
We're getting ahead of ourselves here, though, I think, aren't we?
We are, yeah.
We're just trying to lighten the mood. We're just trying to lighten the tension. Yeah.
Stephen Elliott, thanks very much for popping in. Dave, you were speaking to Matt Holland earlier on.
Yeah, I was always going to get Matt's thoughts on things, chatting to him a bit earlier today. I asked him if, as a former midfield player, that he agreed with his ex-teammate Damien Duff, because Duff was saying last night that Ireland's failure to do anything really positive with the ball must be really demoralising for many of the players in this Irish team.
Well, I wasn't one of the creative players, if you like, in the Irish team. I mean, we were lucky that we had the likes of Damien Duff and Robbie Keane in the side, who, that was their job, really. I was probably not one of the most creative players in the team. There was a job to be done last night. And I think what Damien's trying to say is that there's an opportunity missed, if I'm totally honest. I think, watching the game, I felt that Denmark were there for the taking. I don't think they were in any great shakes. And, I said before, what would someone asked me what before the game, what would represent a good result. I said, not getting beat and an away goal. Well, we didn't get beat, which was good, the fact that we came away with the draw, but we didn't score the away goal. And I wonder whether that might come back to haunt us. But, you know, we didn't do enough in terms of trying to score a goal. And I think that is something that we might look back on and regret. I know Richard Dunn in the build-up was saying, you know, we have to go for it. We have to be positive, try and get that away goal. But it didn't quite happen on the night in terms of going forward. There's a big gap between the midfield and Daryl Murphy. And I felt for him up top on his own. We couldn't quite get the ball into people's feet. That's where someone like Wes Houlihan comes into play. But yeah, I mean, look, if you're Damien Duff in that side, yeah, I can understand you being frustrated, definitely.
But going into the game, did you expect anything different to what we watched last night?
Not really, if I'm totally honest. But I thought we might do a bit more with the ball. I thought, you know, get a few more passes in before we hit it long. It gives the midfield a chance to get up alongside Daryl Murphy. But in terms of the tactics, no, because we've seen recently in Wales, 30% of the ball, Georgia, 30% of the ball. So away from home, we've been more than happy just to sit back, be defensively organised, be disciplined, be hard to beat, and try and hit teams on the counter-attack. So no, in terms of tactics, I didn't expect anything different.
When you see Daryl Murphy so exposed and balls being... a lot of people, Matt, would no major issue with the ball being hit direct to him, but then it's just a question of ensuring that when it drops either off him or the second ball, that there are people in and around him to pick it up, to maybe get ahead of him. You're usually looking at the likes of Robbie Brady, James McLean, maybe Callum O'Dowd, who was picked in the team last night. So what do you need to change to ensure that there is more of a willingness to get ahead of the ball or just behind the ball as it's going down the field towards Daryl Murphy or maybe Shane Long, as it might be on Tuesday? What change has to be made in the meantime, in the days between last night and Tuesday, on the training pitch from the management?
Well, I think the management will be saying we need to get up the pitch, so squeezing and pressing a little bit higher. And I think that gets the team further up the pitch. So from where we started last night in our starting positions, I would say 15, 20 yards further up, try and put pressure on them. They're not brilliant at the back in terms of keeping the ball. You know, Sam Kerr and Bjelland and even William Quist, who's the holding midfield player, they weren't brilliant in terms of on the ball. So I'd suggest that we can press them a little bit higher. Still be compact, so the defence, the midfield, all intact, but 10, 15, maybe 20 yards further up the pitch and just get the squeeze on further up the pitch, and that will ensure that we can play further up and in their half, which is something that I think they'll be looking at doing.
And the fact that we're at home in the second leg, does that automatically increase the chances of that happening, because there's more of an onus on you as the home side to do that, and the little bit of pressure that's coming from the home support on you to try and do that? So, I mean, will that naturally take place?
I think it will. I think it will make a difference, definitely. I think that the players will respond to that, and I think it will, you know, make them squeeze a little bit further up the pitch. The danger is that you leave space for Christian Eriksen. That is the problem. But that's what I'm saying. But the two banks need to be intact still. So your midfield and your defence still need to be working, you know, within there at sort of 10, 15 yards or whatever, but they need to do it further up the pitch. So, but I think with the crowd as well and the expectancy, and there's always at home a little bit more pressure on you to do the attacking. So I would imagine that will help us in terms of getting up the pitch, yeah.
On the Eriksen thing, and, you know, maybe the fear that you do allow a little bit of space for him, if you do play 15, 20 yards further up the pitch, does that not cramp the space even more so? So whereas last night he was able to pick the ball up between the halfway line and, say, midway inside Ireland's half and at times do with it what he wanted, albeit he's looking at a wall of white shirts in front of him. Whereas on Tuesday night, if we play a bit further up the pitch, they don't really have a striker that's going to run in behind like Shane Long, for example. Jorgensen isn't the quickest striker. And I just wonder, is that a good way to make it even more cramped for Christian Eriksen?
Yeah. Well, I think it wasn't a problem last night because Christian Eriksen was picking the ball up on the halfway line, 10 yards inside our half. You know, he's got an awful lot to do from there, so that wasn't a big problem. And I think you're absolutely right about the strikers as well. I think you can afford to be higher up as a defence because there isn't a great deal of pace to get in behind you. Their outball tended to be the fullbacks, to be honest. You know, their fullbacks got in on a couple of occasions, which Callum O'Dowd fell asleep on one, and James McLean did as well. I mean, James McLean's brilliant and very diligent in doing his defensive work, but on a couple of occasions, it was their fullbacks actually that found the space because we were so narrow and compact. I think when Christian Eriksen picks it up on the halfway line, that's absolutely fine because he's got an awful lot still to do. But it's when he picks it up, pockets the space 25 yards out, which we saw a couple of times early on in the game. He had a couple of shots from distance, so that's something that we do have to be aware of.
And this is a question, Matt, I put to Joe at the very top of the show this afternoon. If you had the choice of being in the shoes of either manager heading into the second leg, who would it be?
Do you know what? Before the tie, I felt it was 50-50. I honestly thought it was that close. And I don't think anything's changed, if I'm totally honest. I'd say Martin O'Neill, because you're at home. That's the only difference, really, going into this second leg.
Even though Denmark potentially have 2 hours to score an away goal against us on Tuesday.
Well, there is that as well. And their manager seems very confident that that's going to be the case, that they can score away from home. Our away form actually through the campaign was better than it was at home. I think out of the 19 points, and 11 of them came away from the Aviva. So if you look at that, then you might say, well, actually, maybe Denmark is slight. But I think with it being at home, with the crowd and everything, I'd probably just edge towards Martin O'Neill. But so what, a 51-49 challenge now? I really do think it is that close.
What sort of feeling is there in the players in these types of games in Dublin? And it would have been in front of the old Lansdowne Road when you were playing. These massively high-pressure, almost claustrophobic type suffocating games where the stakes are so high, and we've seen in all the games bar the Croatia-Greece tie where Croatia just handed them a bit of a beating, but this real tension in Stockholm and the Sweden-Italy game, likewise in the game at Windsor Park, and very much on show last night in Copenhagen where both sets of players are so reluctant to be the individual that makes that mistake. What are they like to play in? And can you recall one game in your career that would have been of a similar magnitude? Big qualifiers in Dublin you've played, obviously, but maybe the Dutch game, was that something maybe very close to it?
Well, I was just about to pick that one out, actually. I think you're right. I think that you are nervous because you're quite right. You don't want to be the one that makes the mistake that costs you. So there is a nervousness about it. And the big games, you're looking for something just to calm you down, just to relax you. And the Dutch game is one that does stand out because Roy in that game made a massive tackle on the halfway. I think it was Mark Overmars. I think he put him 3 or 4 foot in the air. And that moment, you just felt that they were a bit, ooh, blimey. And the crowd got up for it. And I think that was almost one that just settled us a little bit. Even the fact that we went down to 10 men as well. So you just need something in the game. It might be a tackle, it might be a shot from distance, it might be something, but just to get the crowd going, and it just settles the nerves. As a player, you want that first touch to be right. That, you know, your first pass, your first tackle, your first header, you just want to get into the game and get that right. But that, I think that moment settled everybody. So maybe something like that on Tuesday night would be the way forward.
And maybe that just might spur the players into a little more belief that they can do a bit more with the ball and take one or two additional risks in trying to hold on to it for a little bit longer. But I was
particularly when you look at the players that we've got as well. You know, it's not like you go to the team and say, well, they're not good players. You know, Jeff Hendrick's a good footballer. Harry Arter plays in a football team at Bournemouth. He's a good footballer. James McLean's a decent player. Robbie Brady, I mean, he's technically very good as well. So it's not like we haven't got players who can play as well. So I think there has to be a confidence about the lads that they can do it as well. You know, they're not mugs.
But they never do, Matt. They never do. Like, we talk about how we feel. Like, we watch these players all the time playing for their clubs. And Brady, Arter, James McLean, they're good footballers. They do play in sides that at times will play a little bit of football. And yet, we never see it when they're playing for Ireland. And Joe said as well earlier that maybe he's reached a level of acceptance that this is just what you get from this Irish team, and we have to stop maybe longing, yearning for a type of game that's easier on the eye and just say, look, results are being achieved here. Let's just accept and resign ourselves to how it's going to look.
Do you know, I think we did it at the Euros. I think if you go back to the Euros and some of the games there, I felt that we played some good football at times. So, you know, the Italy game, France, I thought there was good performances there. It wasn't like we just sat back and accepted defeat in those matches, or accepted that the opposition would have all the ball and we'll sit back and try and soak up pressure. And yes, the opposition had more of the ball, but I did think at times that we played. So they are capable of doing it. It is possible. And look, I think we got sucked in a little bit with Denmark as well, because the way they played as well. Let's get it right. They were very direct as well. You know, they played Jurgensen and Cornelius, and Cornelius was coming off the right hand side, and they were bombing long balls. So they were pretty direct as well. And I don't expect they'll change either, because they've got no pace up top either. So there's not a lot they can do differently. I think we have to say that actually we can do it against this team, this Denmark team. They're not the quickest, but, you know, they're not the best on the ball. So I don't see why we can't do it. I honestly don't.
So we're going to do it, maybe?
51-49. I'll go back to that.
You're going
to
rely on the numbers.
I'm relying on the numbers. That's how close it is. But I'm nervous as everyone else is. And fingers crossed that we do it. My concern is that no away goal. And that's obviously nagging away at me. But, we've been able to pick up some big results when needed, and hopefully we can do another one on Tuesday night.
Great stuff, Matt. Thanks so much for your time.
No problem at all.
Off the Ball on News Talk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.